Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights, this is The Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest has his finger on the pulse of all things high school sports in the state of Oregon. Billy Gates. He is covering the high school playoffs for the OSAA. He's also a guy who does a podcast. It is the Oregon High School Sports Podcast that is available on ThatCast. You should be following Billy on Twitter as well, at Gates on Sports, if you want to know what the hell's going on in the state of Oregon. Whether you're listening in Klamath Falls or Eugene or Springfield or Albany or Corvallis or Salem or Portland or Southern Washington, Billy Gates is the guy, and he joins us now. Hey, Billy. How are you, man?
Hey, John. Good, man. How are you doing?
Doing well. I was looking at the brackets for the high school boys and girls basketball, and very intrigued to see what's going on. What are you most excited about seeing in this tournament?
Well, I'm excited to see how the 6A boys tournament shakes out. I think that really all eight of these teams have a decent shot at bringing home a trophy, if not the big one. And then the 6A girls, I mean, I think it's Southridge's to lose at this point, the two-time defending champ. Bring back a lot of firepower from their championship team. Number one seed in the tournament, I think the title's got to go through them. But very wide open field in all four of our tournaments, 6A and 5A. It should be fun to watch.
All right, the 6A, let's start with the 6A boys, which will be at Childs Center over the next 4 days or so. You've got Lake Oswego as the one seed, Oregon City as an eight seed, Jesuit and Central Catholic, you got a holy war there, the four and the five, Grant and Jefferson, a lot of people think Jefferson could win this thing, South Salem and Tigard. Who do you like?
You know, I like Lake Oswego, just the sense that Coach Marshall Cho has those guys playing just the perfect example of team basketball. They've been doing that the entire season. They've almost been one of the OSAA rankings in the coaches' poll. I mean, gosh, it was early in the season, they had number one, and they've kind of been fluctuating with Jefferson there, one and two in the coaches' poll. But I love Lake Oswego, but I also love the PAL team. Don't sleep on number 16, Grant. I think if they get past Jefferson in this quarterfinal with Ty Rankin and Aaron Deloney, the two star guards for Grant, who won the state championship last year, I think Grant can make a run if they get by Jefferson later on this evening.
We're talking to Billy Gates, who is the resident expert on high school sports in the state of Oregon. You raise an interesting point. Like, all right, so you have quarterfinals at Childs Center, and this is the first time I think some of these kids will get to play in that building. You just don't know how they're going to perform when they get in there. Is one of the 6A boys team have more experience than others that you look at?
Yeah, I mean, I think Grant and Jefferson both, having played for the state title last season, they returned a lot of guys from those teams. I really think they have kind of an edge here, and obviously Central Catholic, they're a bit of a blue blood in Oregon high school basketball, as is Jesuit. So I really think, you know, outside of maybe Oregon City for that matter, Tigard, I think all the rest of these teams, they've got experience playing on the big stage, and so I think I would give the experience edge to both Grant and Jefferson because they played under the big lights for the title last season.
We're talking to Billy Gates. Where are you right now? Are you at a practice?
I am in Child, or not Child. I'm at Gill Coliseum for the 5A tournament.
Let's talk about that.
That's about to
tip off. You got Churchill and LaSalle, the one seed and the nine seed, playing in a quarterfinal that'll tip off at 1:30. Has LaSalle got a shot in that game?
You know, it's going to be tough. Churchill, the 15-0 in their conference. Kelly Boken, their coach, she's been there for about 14 years. Led Redmond, a Marty Lunin led Redmond to the state championship back in 2004, I think. They're a great team out of Eugene. They have 6'4" senior Brian Gorecki, who's transferred from, this interesting story, transferred from class 2A Monroe just before the season. So he's made the jump from 2A basketball to 5A basketball, and he averages 15 points a game. And in the playoff game, the first round against the Dallas, he dumped 32 on the Dallas in a 100-34 win. That's a playoff game.
Wow.
Churchill won a playoff game 100-34, and he had 32 points, and he's made the transition to 5A basketball almost seamless. And Kevin Belty didn't say enough good things about it, but I talked to him.
It feels like in the 5A level, if Churchill's going to get pressed, it's going to be Wilsonville that does it. We'll keep an eye on that. Let's go to girls for a moment. In the girls 5A, don't sleep on LaSalle. Even though Wilsonville's the one seed there, I saw those two teams play just about a month ago, and LaSalle beat them at Wilsonville. That thing feels wide open.
Oh, absolutely. And, yeah, I think as long as this seeding process has been happening to the USAA, I think LaSalle Prep girls might be the greatest five seed in the history of this tournament because they are tremendous. Addison Whedon, averaging over 20 points a game, daughter of Coach Kelly Whedon. And they also added a piece from Clackamas' great team last year, Allison Mura, who's been out for a lot of the season, recovering from shoulder surgery, but she's back. And you'd be hard-pressed to find a backcourt that good at any level, let alone 5A. So we have a 5-4 game between LaSalle Prep and Silverton tomorrow at 3:15. I think as far as the girls' side goes, that's the most intriguing quarterfinal there.
We're talking to Bill Gates from the Oregon High School Sports Podcast and also works for the OSAA. Let's go to the 6A girls. You've got this one's at Childs Center, but Southridge is the one seed, Tigers the two seed. That's a turf battle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's pretty fierce. I mean, Southridge, they've been the two-time defending state champions, and I believe Tiger was a team that broke their winning streak against Oregon teams a year or so ago. But, I mean, the title road goes through Southridge. Cameron Brink, 6'5" junior. It's hard to believe she's just a junior. She's been dominating Oregon basketball for so long. Averaging 21 points and 11 rebounds a game. Metro League Player of the Year. She's committed to Stanford. I mean, is that good? She's committed to Stanford to play basketball down there. And McKelly Meek, a junior guard, averaging 14 points a game for them. Michael Burton does a tremendous job at Southridge. And I think if anybody presses them, it's going to be either Tigard or Benson. I really like Benson here. I've seen them play a few times. Coach Eric Knox has a really good group of girls there that he's been kind of grooming since their younger days. Really, really like those three teams right now in the girls.
All right, Billy, let me ask you, because we were talking earlier about the pressures that some of the NBA players are under with social media, and we talked to an Oregon State coach who talked about the pressure of the phone. You've been around high school sports for a while. How has that social media pressure affected high school athletes?
Well, I think once an athlete comes out and they kind of do the whole social media posts where they declare where they've committed, albeit verbally, or if they sign a letter of intent, I think that can go one of two ways for those kids. You can either take a ton of pressure off of them, knowing that they made that decision, but it also invites, the quote-unquote haters when it comes to, let's say a kid commits to Oregon State, and they were an Oregon target. All those Oregon fans get on social media and they start ripping on this kid for choosing the Beavers instead of the Ducks. So it's just a matter of how these kids manage, quote-unquote noise when it's what it all comes down to. And I think that a lot of the kids that commit to colleges, do that social media thing, I think a lot of them are mentally strong enough that they can kind of, wash away the bad and kind of just embrace in their, decision that they've made for their – for their benefit, for their families, and their benefit in the future. So I really don't like it when fans of opposing colleges or teams get on social media and bash kids. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But it happens, and I think that as far as we move along here with social media and doing these commitment posts or whatever, that some social media training in high schools, especially with athletes, is paramount. And I really hope that coaches are starting to realize that as well.
Billy Gates, I look forward to seeing your coverage and obviously your podcast. at Gates on Sports on Twitter. Billy, I appreciate your time, man.
Hey, thanks, John. Really appreciate you having me on.
There he is, Billy Gates. He is the expert statewide. He's the best go-to when it comes to high school sports coverage. He hosts a podcast called the Oregon High School Sports Podcast. If you are somebody, if you've got a kid who plays high school sports, you want to know what's going on in high school sports. And he's, by the way, he's not just talking about football and basketball. He's all over the place with that thing. It's pretty, it's really good. So check it out. Social media pressure or social pressure. Okay. You heard Charles Barkley speak to it, or maybe you didn't. Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner. I'll play Silver's comments. And then let's play Barkley's comments.
I think part of it is a direct product of social media.
Yes.
And I think those players we're talking about, when I meet with them, what strikes me is that they are truly unhappy.
Probably the stupidest thing I've ever heard Adam say. And listen, he's a great guy, but that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of any commissioner say. Listen, Greeny, these guys are making $20, $30, $40 million a year. They work 6-7 months a year. We stay at the best hotels in the world. They ain't got no problems. That's total bogus. And let me tell you something else. Kyrie Irving, I don't know him that well. He seems like a good kid, but I've never seen a person so miserable. To have so much success, to have the world in the palm of his hand, he's going to make $40, $50 million a year for the next 10, 15 years. He's already won a world championship. He's in movies. But he's got to be one of the most miserable people I've ever seen. He wanted to go to Boston because he wanted to have his own team. And what a lot of these guys don't understand is when you're a star, and I've been a star, you get all the credit, but you get all the blame. That ain't right. That ain't fair. That's just how it is. That's the way this whole thing works. You know, nobody runs to Jalen Brown the Morris brothers or Gordon Hayward. They going to come to Kyrie Irving after every game. That's the responsibility with being a great player, being a star. And like I say, we can all get on television and complain about, oh, I can't wait to get away from this. Like, no, you, dude, we're paying you $40 million a year. You ain't never going to get away from this. And if your team don't win, like, listen, as a guy who was a star, Greeny, have I ever heard you say that the Sabalos didn't win the championship? Mm-hmm. Have I ever heard you say Mark West didn't win the championship? What does everybody say? Charles Barkley didn't win the championship. I got to accept that. I got to live with that. But that's just how this thing works. Nobody said Mark West is one of the greatest guys I ever played with in my life. But I've never heard anybody get on TV and say, man, that Mark West didn't win the championship.
Charles Barkley and Adam Silver, I want you to help me sort through that because there's a lot at play there. On one hand, you have Adam Silver who's pandering to players who's saying, hey, these guys are unhappy. They're under a lot of pressure. They feel isolated. On the other hand, you have Charles Barkley who is saying, come on, you've got a bunch of money. That's first world problems that you have as an NBA player. Then you have underlying that, the reality that mental illness doesn't discriminate. What are we talking about really here, and who has it right? 503-417-7575. Blockbuster in Bend, Oregon. Do you know the distinction that that Blockbuster store has now? It is the last Blockbuster video store on planet Earth. Two other stores that were in Alaska have closed, and one in Perth, Australia just closed, leaving that privately owned Blockbuster video store is the last one on Earth. We need to get that Blockbuster store on the show. Call them up and be like, hey, congrats, you are the survivor of all the Blockbuster stores. I root for that store to make it. I miss video stores. I miss going down to the video store with the family. We'd all disperse into the video store, and we'd have to come back with, like, the movie we picked, and then we'd have to get our siblings to agree on it. I don't know if you did that in your family. My parents would say, all right, you guys go pick a movie, and then come back, and then we'd have to agree on it. Or
I don't miss. What I don't miss is picking a movie and then finding out they don't have it in stock. That doesn't happen with Netflix. Doesn't happen anymore. But that Third Street location in Bend, Oregon is the only Blockbuster video store left in the world. So we'll get them on the show. Charles Barkley sounding off on NBA players. He says, give me a break. After Adam Silver essentially points out that players are depressed.
I think part of it is a direct product of social media.
Yes.
And I think those players we're talking about, when I meet with them, what strikes me is that they are truly unhappy.
There is Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner. Charles Barkley has sounded off.
I think that's probably the stupidest thing I've ever heard Adam say. And listen, he's a great guy, but that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of any commissioner say. Listen, Greeny, these guys are making $20, $30, $40 million a year. They work 6-7 months a year. We stay at the best hotels in the world. They ain't got no problems. That's total bogus.
Adam Silver, Charles Barkley, sort it out with me because I think it's a complicated issue. Because on one hand, we're talking about entitlement. We're talking about players who are disconnected from reality. They don't know what it is and cannot relate to what it is to be making $35K a year and grinding to make ends meet. They can't even comprehend it. And on the other hand, you have the idea that, hey, just having money doesn't make you happy. In fact, there are documentaries done about it. People in countries that are poor report that they are happier than people in countries that that are wealthy. What is that about? It isn't about money. 503-417-7575. And where does social media fit into this? Where does it rank? Let's start with Jeff in Salem. Jeff, I appreciate you calling in. What's on your mind?
Hey, you know what, John? I agree with Charles Barkley completely. I mean, this new generation of NBA players, they've been pampered and nurtured their whole lives. They don't know how to deal with anything. You know, if they're stressed out by it, cancel your account and be done with it.
Yeah, I always feel like they do those polls where they say, where are the happiest people on earth? And it's always in these sunny, warm places where people are happy. And I've always thought to myself, like, you know, New York City doesn't get a lot of votes there. Some other places that you would think are wealthier areas, they don't get a lot of votes. But what makes life good? Where does happiness derive from? Where does joy come from? Where does life satisfaction and well-being come from if it doesn't come from within? And if you're looking for it on social media, you're not going to find it. You're going to find a lot of happy pictures and cute sayings and things like that. But I also think Adam Silver is doing a disservice to the league, and I think he's pandering to players by saying, oh, I see a lot of guys with the social pressures.
I don't necessarily would classify it in the mental health area as far as, very, very serious, you know, unless they have real depression, major depression problems. But what I will say is it was created. This whole thing has been created to what is the environment, the social media, letting these guys get out there, this AAU stuff, letting them get out at you know, now they're coming out at 18. They have no clue what it's like. Charles Barkley came out of Auburn in 4 years. These guys were adults. They were men. 18-year-old kids, 17, 18-year-old kids are coming out. They have no clue what is going on. The NBA has created what's going on. They give them the money, but they don't give them anything about any kind of life lesson. Nothing at all.
I wonder about happiness as a thing, because like Aristotle thought that the motivation for man was, yeah, man chases riches, man chases honor, but really what man's after is happiness. And you associate honor and riches with happiness. And you can't tell me that a professional athlete in our culture, that is an honorable profession, and it is a profession that can make you wealthy. And so a lot of us get confused when we hear things like, well, Kevin Love or somebody saying, hey, I'm anxious. Or a player in general like Kyrie Irving who just kind of stomps around and it feels and looks unhappy all the time. Drew's in Sherwood. I got two lines open. 503-417-7575. Drew, what do you think?
Hey, John, thanks. It's you know, it's not an easy answer. I feel like it goes both directions. I mean, the one thing that also Charles and everybody didn't have to deal with, I know I didn't have to deal with it when I was in school, was having people always be able to get at you through social media. I mean, that creates a whole different, you know, animal, because you can't get away from it. You know, a kid gets picked on at school. If they have a decent home life, they go home and they can get away from that. But it's not the case anymore. It's kind of the same thing with these players. But then at the same time, when you make a lot of money, generally speaking, a job that you're doing where you get paid handsomely, there is more stress involved with it. So these guys know somewhat what they're getting into. They're being rewarded handsomely to do it. And you have to take some of the things that come with that, and you have to try and deal with it. And like Kevin Durant's a prime example. Like, man, that guy gets irritated all the time. And it's like, hey, you kind of put yourself in this position. If you didn't want to be an NBA professional basketball player making $30 million a year, then finish up your education and get a job where you're not, you know, under the spotlight. Because you can't have it both ways. You got to, you know, give and take a little bit. So
it's interesting. I'd be curious to know what's going on in Asian cultures, too, because I think the American culture places a value on happiness that I don't know if it's a worldwide thing, because I think there are definite there's a distinction between American culture, where it's taken for granted that happiness is supposed to be one of the most important guiding values for your life. Like, are you happy? I just want them to be happy. That's what people always say. People are getting married. I just want them to be happy. I don't, you know, I want to go in your life. I don't need you to be a doctor or a lawyer. I just want you to be happy. But you go to a different culture where maybe happiness isn't at the top of the pile, and it becomes about honor. It becomes about wealth. It becomes about other things. And I wonder how cultures who shy away from happiness as, you know, a belief that, you know, that's what we're all striving to get. I wonder if those cultures are inherently happier because they're not chasing it.
Yeah, it could be. You know, we're more of an individualistic culture here in the United States. All about me, 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 me. And you get out of the United States of America, it's very group oriented, family oriented. It's about the family. It's not about the one person. You affect one person, it affects the family.
503-417-7575. In non-Western cultures, people I don't think are as geared towards, hey, striving for happiness. Well, like we're also in a culture that strives like to, we can never stand still. And I thought the caller made a really interesting point about there being greater pressure with being an athlete or a celebrity who's making a lot of money and who's on a stage. In one way, yes. More visibility. You're in a fishbowl. But you can't tell me that a single mom who's got three kids, is working for a bad boss, trying to make ends meet, stuck in a job, that single mom is under less pressure than Kevin Durant.
But
no way.
Can you explain that to an 18-year-old that just got a $35 million contract? He would never understand that.
Yeah, it's why Kevin Durant goes off and he's like, yeah, why are you guys doing this? Why do I have to answer these questions? And people are like, because that's the career path you chose. And Kyrie Irving's like, you know, why are all the cameras on me? Because, you know, you wanted to be in a movie. That, you know, you got people chasing after you and taking your picture. You wanted this fame and the stage. Look, I'll be honest. There are times when I'm belly aching, and I even sit back. I'm hosting a radio show. I'm writing columns for The Oregonian. I'm working at KGW. I got a whole bunch of side things going on. We got a nonprofit 501c3 that takes up some time in the course of every day. And I will sometimes look back and I'll go like, hey, keep yourself in check, pal, because you signed on for all this. Don't bellyache too much, because there are people out there that would love to have your problems. There are people out there that would love to have Kevin Durant's problems. There, no matter you where you are, no matter what you're doing and your profession is or your circumstance is, I can tell you there is someone worse off than you who's under more pressure than you that would gladly exchange their pressures for yours.
But in the course of that time, so you understand that. And most people do. They really do. I believe they do.
If you have to work for something, you understand.
Okay. Because I was going to say, where was it lost in along the way, you know?
I still get lost, though. There's days where I'm bellyaching. Somebody's knocking on the door, and I'm like, why are they bugging me? And then I go, you know what, man? The other night, I was with a bunch of friends, and
One of the guys said to me, what time do you go in for the radio show? Now, it's a trick question because the radio show for me starts the minute my eyes open in the morning because I'm geared on to who's coming on the show, what are we doing to prep. It's not like clocking in. But I said to him, you know, as long as I'm there at noon and I can be gone as early as 3:01, and he's like, that's a good life, just talking sports for 3 hours. And I know he was just kidding me because I'm sitting back sometimes and I'm like, you know, it's not holding a jackhammer, but, you know, there are days that I go home and after I've written a column and done 3 hours of radio and maybe KGW sent a camera over to the studio and I've given my input on something, I have nothing left to give. I mentally have nothing left to give, but I can't complain. I signed on for it.
I think these guys, it was created the way the system is set up. They've been created to be the way they are, and it's not very good. And they're going to have to. He's talking about not the Kevin Love type of mental health. I think they're talking about revamping how these guys come into the league.
They should, and they're asking them to come in younger and less prepared.
Yes.
503-417-7575. Tell me, are you with Adam Silver? Because I think some people will be. In saying, hey, these guys are under a lot of pressure. Or are you more with Charles Barkley, who's saying, get over it. You're making $40 million a year. You got the bald-faced truth.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald-faced truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.